glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KBNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my buddy gardener. It's Lance in the house. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. Good evening. I'd like to see that white stuff this morning.
Whoa, yeah. Does everybody like that? Feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've heard different reports from all around the area. What happened up in your garden?
We had about 2 inches of snow.
Heavy,
wet snow.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of moisture in that.
Nice. Did it rain before it snowed at your place?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Here in town, there was a nice heavy rain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then Jeff said they had some big snow down in the south end of our listening area.
Oh, good.
In Telluride. So maybe we could get a report from folks down there. 527-4868-1866, KBNF Now. And let's just continue on that watering trend because it was a nice little burst of moisture.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still watering. You watered again.
I'm in the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making the rounds.
Making the rounds, and it's going a little bit faster because I'm not doing the big where I hand turned it. I'm just watering the shrubs and the trees.
Because you hand turned to break down those dirt clods?
Yeah.
And was that effective? Or?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're crumbling now.
Okay.
The freezing and thawing will crumble them right down. It looks really good.
Good. Right on. Yeah. So just keeping those shrubs and bushes moist.
Moist, mm-hmm. And we'll see what it does in the next month.
Right.
You know, it
could be great.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, but I just noticed that everything sort of stands up. You can feel it and things. And so, yeah.
Drinking it in and
yeah, and it really
it
does.
Supple.
Mm-hmm. It really does help the things go through the winter, especially dry winter. And I was just talking to a friend, and he said his parents living in Grand Junction, they're encouraging everybody to water.
Oh,
they're
really?
Actually the city is encouraging everybody to water their shrubs because it is so dry.
Wow, interesting.
You know, shrubs, lawns,
yeah.
Everything.
Wow, in Grand Junction, right there on the Colorado River.
And they've turned on sprinkler systems.
Goodness gracious. So I wonder what the average evening temperature is there.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been listening.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be the main stress on plants this winter is just not having
It's not cold,
water.
It's dry.
It's dry.
Yeah. So especially your big evergreens, they'll suffer with this. You know, the grapevines really appreciate it. I mean, everything does, but...
Those more than usual.
Those big trees are sucking up water like you wouldn't believe, just to stay alive.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about that in the forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. 527-4868-1866 KVNF Now. We had a call or an email at the end of the show last week that we weren't able to respond to. And we were talking last week with some folks, Anthony and Randall, about pruning butterfly bushes and rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an email about mock orange.
Mock orange.
Yeah, you remember that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a story going on with that mock orange. It was a little bit abused.
It was a little bit, I think it was burned down by the tenants, and then it's grown back, and should I prune it? Should she prune it now? And actually, if you prune it now, you would prune off the bloom. It blooms on last year's growth, so you don't want to prune it. You might thin it if it's too thick, too many canes, but it sounds like everything's brand new and a new growth, and I would just leave it.
Just leave it this year.
Yeah, unless there's some really rank or crossing branches or something like that, I would just leave it.
Okay.
Let it bloom, and then after bloom, go to if you want to prune it then.
Okay. And any specific area or
those things you'd prune
that
to the ground.
Prune it to the ground.
Yeah, the shoots, you know, will come out.
Okay.
Yeah.
How big do those mock orange
bushes get? I've seen them 6 to 8 feet high.
Yeah.
You know, and that'd be an actual bush, and that kind you would not prune to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You would just prune back, just sort of similar to a fruit tree.
And we're doing this because it's been abused and it's kind of coming back and
So what you're actually doing is guiding the growth.
Okay,
know, that's
right.
What you're doing. You're not
at this point.
At this point. And once it gets big, then you're pruning for keeping it open, crossing branches, dead branches out, and height. Height and width.
Okay. All right. Thank you, listener, for the mock orange question. I bet that's pretty fragrant when you prune it.
No.
No? It's just really the blooms?
It's the bloom, and I think it's during the night. Because generally speaking, the tradition was to plant those by your bedroom window.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely fragrance in the window.
Now, we had a mock orange in Southern California. It's called Pittosporum. There's lots of different types of Pittosporum, and they're evergreen, and they have little white flowers, and they were quite fragrant at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not an orange. It had little orange seed heads, seed pods, but it was just,
but you could definitely smell the orange.
Yeah, and they would get huge. And in parts of California, you know, where there's a little bit more rainfall, it actually became a weed tree.
Oh, really?
I didn't see it a weed tree in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
But when I got up into like Santa Barbara and San Francisco Bay Area and stuff, it was actually
crazy.
A weed tree.
Uh-huh.
They did not sell them.
Really? No. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that different climate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 527-4868-1866-KVNF now. So you mentioned pruning. As you get to pruning, you want to keep things open and remove dead branches.
Yeah.
And you're really, pruning is thinning, right?
Yeah, you're thinning, you know, especially, you know, so this is the, when we talk about thinning fruit, you thin fruit off the tree at a certain point.
Right,
okay,
right.
Well, this is the first stage of thinning. And this is thinning branches, and there's a couple things, just get some light in there. And that getting light in makes the fruit ripen all at the same time.
Okay.
You know.
You want it to breathe inside.
Yeah, and you want to get some light in there. And then the other thing is if they're too crowded or you leave too much fruit on, the tree turns into fruiting every other year. And so what you're doing by thinning this is it spends some of its energy to ripen fruit and some of the energy to grow next year's crop.
Right. Yeah. But that kind of happened with the fruit, not last year, but the previous year, which was such a banner year. And then last year, I mean, that just sort of happened naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did happen naturally. Mm-hmm. And last year, because we'd have to thin, everything really grew. And the term in the orchards is the trees are really hairy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hairy trees this year.
Yeah. There's a lot of pruning going on. And you have to temper that pruning because if you recall, and the first thing I said was, if you really want something to grow, prune it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want it to grow, don't prune too much. But what if this is a dry year and you prune real hard? Well, it's going to need moisture to grow a lot.
Right.
So you have to sort of balance that and maybe cut back on the really heavy pruning this year just because it might be a dry year. I mean, right now it looks like a dry year. It is.
Right.
So it's just this finesse you do.
Right. That's part of being a farmer.
Again, do the crossing branches, do the dead branches, and you might bring it down a little bit if it's too high for you, or something's getting in your way, or your walkway, or whatever.
Right, shape it up.
But I would be hesitant to prune it really hard.
Okay.
Except for the stone fruit. I mentioned the stone fruit you prune hard. And the reason, again, is that they do not send up shoots, new shoots, as much as pears and apples will. Plums will do it a little bit better, but apricots and peaches do not. If you cut it to a stub, that stub most likely going to die. I try it every once in a while, just see if it's a spot that I need something, and I see if a new shoot comes out. It rarely does.
And this is on stone fruit?
Stone fruit. Mm-hmm. Plums, apricots, peaches, and somewhat cherries. Cherries actually grow pretty, they'll resprout pretty good.
Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org. So cutting it down to the ground or down to the bone, that's not going to work. But what about that collar in the stone fruit?
Oh, when you're pruning?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
all trees and shrubs have collars. Wherever a stem comes off the main one, there's this collar. They call it, and it's actually on the top part of the branch coming out. And that collar, when you cut the little branch off that where that collar is from there, you don't cut that collar off because that's the part that heals the wound or the cut.
Okay.
And so you want to try to leave that. There's not some on the bigger stuff, you won't see a collar. But the smaller stuff, you'll always see it. And it's just different. There's just technically a collar.
Right. Yeah, I think when you think of a branch, you can visualize that.
Mm-hmm. Well, think
easily.
Of a neck with our shirts and we have a collar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a visual for you.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. And you've been pruning already. What have you been up to in that place?
Well, my apples are done and the pears are done. And let's see, I've started on the French prune plums.
Yes.
Yes.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
The French prune plums that I did.
Yeah, and Lance shared some of your dried French prune plums.
Yeah.
Which was from that banner year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was some from last year. Yeah, they were.
You had thousands, didn't you?
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So, well, genuinely, I have a really bumper year that I definitely get rid of a few boxes, but I know that I'm not going to have any for a couple of years.
Right, right.
So I actually dried them all. And those French prune plums, you can dry with the pit in them, mm-hmm. just turning them with air. I don't do
They're
anything.
They're a perfect consistency. Did you take them at a certain point and store them in an airtight container? Or just when you felt like they were at the right place?
Yeah, or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you harvest them and they get harvested like the week or so after the late Stanley prune plum.
Okay, the French do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one nice thing about variety is you can spread out your...
Yeah, you spread it all out.
...planting, harvesting time.
And the French prune plums, like I said, you do with pits, so you don't have to cut them. You don't have to do anything. You just put them on flats and, you know, in a warm, dry place.
Yeah.
And it'll take a month or so, mm-hmm. but there's no work. You just have to go check for the ones that... There are the fronds that have a cut on them or bruise, and they will mildew.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise...
You can get those out of the group, and you're good to go. Yeah, delicious. Lots of plums going on.
Yeah, so I'll finish thinking of that. I'll finish the plums. So I'm doing Santa Rosa plum next. I did a Fellenberg prune plum, which is a German prune plum. And I did a, then there's a yellow just plum that's called Faro. And it's a medium-sized yellow plum.
Mm-hmm.
And
those are tasty.
And that was actually, I just happened to be reading and I was wondering why the Santa Rosa and this green gauge plum didn't bear much fruit. Well, it's because the Faro is the pollinator. And that's spelled F-A-R-O.
Okay.
And that's the pollinator for the Santa Rosa and the...
So you need that to make it happen.
Just by chance. Mm-hmm. I saw that reading away.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. David in Paonia is on the line. Good evening, David.
Hello. I just thought I'd pass on news that we had the first flowers in our yard today. The miniature iris started.
Oh, my goodness.
A what?
Iris.
Iris?
The miniature iris.
They started blooming?
Yeah, the dwarf iris started flowering today.
Wow.
Just south popping side? Up out of the snow or
well,
that
no
moisture
snow.
Just...
They're on the south side of the house, so I guess the soil a little bit warmer, but they haven't had any snow on them for quite a while.
Yeah. Those are those dwarf Japanese irises. They bloom.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
We've got pretty big buds on some of the daffodils.
Uh-huh. No crocus.
No crocuses yet, but I've also seen a few butterflies flying around. So
oh my goodness!
Yeah.
They're out way early.
Way early.
Wow, that's some kind of report you got going there, David. Holy cow!
I haven't even checked out my crocus to see if they've come up yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's noticing little buds and stuff, but to actually see the flowers come out, that's something else.
Yeah.
February 6th.
Well, enjoy them.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Okay, that's the news.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call.
Bye.
Goodness gracious. What a crazy year it's been. And butterflies. What up with that, huh?
Well, the winter's been calm enough or mild enough that they just hunker down and get a few days of 60 degrees and they start flying around.
Yeah, goodness gracious. Yeah. We're going to be talking all kinds of bug control, I think, here in just a couple months. But maybe we'll get some moisture and a freeze to
take care
of something.
You know what I wanted to just mention again was if you have, again, I'm saying this, if you have any concern that you might have disease in your trees, you know, especially if you're going from stone fruit, that gamosas. Yeah, you got to spray your pruners, a minimum of between each tree. If not, you know, whenever you see it in the tree, spray your pruners after you cut that.
Right.
You know, and I had some in the French prune plum. And I went,
when you were pruning.
Yeah,
just
I saw
recently.
Some stuff. And I said, I'm going to go get. And I actually still had my bleach water sprayer right there.
Right there with you.
Yeah. So,
So you just took it out and you don't mess around with that. You just kind of go for it and make sure you get it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did that with the fire blight also.
Right. And this is a good year to do it. I mean, the weather's right for that.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
All right, 527-486-8166, KBNF now. You also pruned some almond trees.
Oh, yeah.
And is there anything special we should know about that? Because there's quite a few almond trees, at least in this area.
In yards. And they're in yards. There's no orchards with almond trees. And generally speaking, what I was doing was just crossing branches, thinning it out because it was way too thick, and bringing it down. Again, I was on top, as high as you can go on a 10-foot ladder, and I was still reaching long handle pruners, and I was still...
Pretty big tree.
Yeah.
I think the rule about almond trees and where they grow is if you can grow a peach.
Wherever you can grow peaches, you can grow almonds.
Okay.
And you just have to find the right variety, because what the problem is with winter kill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is that...
too much cold. They just so they have
look
to get
for what? How? What do you look for?
You have to find the right varieties, and you just keep on trying them. And the non-perioled, do not plant that one. That's the standard California almond non-perioled, and they base all. I've looked at a chart, and they base. You got the non-perioled, and this is when it blooms, and then all the varieties bloom for it, and then there's all variety, and they'll say instead of saying. 2 weeks before they say plus 14 or negative, you know, or whatever. They add it that way.
Okay, so they do the math funny.
Yeah, and so I've found for me the one that survives the best is, for me, is called Mission, or it's also known as Texas.
Texas.
And I found out, again, just by reading, that the Hall's Hardy Almond, which is all over the place, and it has a... almond that you have to crack open with a hammer.
That's
how hard it is. But
it's a lot of work.
A lot of work, but it does survive here. That's the pollinator for the Mission.
Yeah. Right. So you really have to think about that when you're getting varieties, is if you're going to.
If you need a pollinator or not.
Right, right.
And so I bought up the Hall's Hardy Almond 2 years ago once I read that.
And ever since, you've been in almond?
Well, they froze last year, so.
Oh, okay.
what to do?
Now, you can grow them where you can grow a peach, but do you prune same rules, or what's the...
No, because you want as much flower buds on there as possible to get as much almonds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
it's different pruning. It's mainly just thinning, thinning. And bringing it down to a height that's manageable for you.
Okay, right. You get kind of dangerous up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it's Billy on the line, and he's calling from Olathe. Good evening, Billy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
What's going on tonight?
Well, I hear you use bleach between cuttings.
Uh-huh.
A city arborist told me to stop using the bleach and to use something like Pine Sol because the bleach dries out the cut too much.
Okay, well, that's good to know. This is probably the bleach. I'm using bleach water, and it's probably 5% bleach.
So you're diluting it pretty heavy.
It's quite good, but that's good to know. And Pine Sol. I'll buy some and see if there's a difference.
Yes, please try it.
Yeah, I will. And that's good for other listeners. If you don't want to be using bleach, Pine Sol. It's right there.
Is that what you use, Billy? You use Pine Sol?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, for years now.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Good advice.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for the advice and the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's what I love is, yeah. you know, all kinds of different tricks out there and what works.
I'd never heard that, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I bet, you know, I like the dilution thing. There's always a mm-hmm. little formula to everything, mm-hmm. too. So, and I think the thing is keeping it sterile and keeping that
yeah.
disease from moving on. Good deal. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. You know, I think it was last week or maybe the week before you mentioned you had some little green sprouts of garlic showing.
Yes, I had some green sprouts, a specific variety. That was German porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, I'm quite surprised, have not come up at all.
Nothing showing.
Nothing showing at all. And even the varieties that were planted right at the same time as the German porcelain, and then a week or so later, I planted the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, let's check. Maybe it was the first time that I've never watered garlic in the fall. And it was so dry, I thought maybe I lost them. With it dry like that, they could have frozen in the ground.
Okay.
If it had gotten cold enough. But anyways, I dug down there, found a clove, not sprouted at all, but the roots were holding it in place.
So everything's good.
Yeah.
Everything's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the areas I just watered.
Just watered.
Yeah, for the second time.
Okay, so you have watered the garlic, not when you planted in the fall, but since then, and trying to give it a little mm-hmm. support.
Yeah, so it's doing well.
And those little shoots are just.
Yeah, they'll come along.
They'll come along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've got other stuff that is kind of enjoying a revitalization
rejuvenation. The kale is standing up. Lots of times those leaves, when it gets those hard frosts, mm-hmm. they just go limp. And because we haven't really had a hard frost for the past 4 or 5 days, it did start to stand up. You know, there's not mm-hmm. enough to eat right now.
Right, you know, right, but.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, it will be.
It will be in your garden,
yeah,
plants.
Yeah, and the spinach is doing just fine.
Okay. Hey, Larry is on the line. He's from Paonia, and he has a comment. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
As far as disinfecting my pruners,
uh-huh.
I use isopropyl alcohol.
Okay. I have some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Main reason I don't use bleach is because it's so it's very oxidative and it'll cause your pruners to rust, especially if they're mostly iron mm-hmm. or steel.
Yeah, that's what my one complaint with that. So yeah, I do have alcohol, and I should probably use some more.
Yeah, I think Jer up at Earth Friendly carries that around to prune is a little mm-hmm. alcohol mm-hmm. based.
And you can use the isopropyl alcohol full strength.
Oh, and is that what you do, Larry? Full strength? Or,
yeah, uh-huh. yeah, absolutely. It won't corrode your pruning instruments like my Felcos, my
yes.
decade-year-old Felcos. If I use the bleach on them, it'll just rust them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've been out pruning already this year, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pruning and watering.
Good. Good for you.
Good deal. All right. So good advice.
Yeah.
Another thing to keep your mm-hmm. tools clean and
yeah.
from spreading that disease.
Instead of just regular bleach.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right. I think everybody's really on to that, mm-hmm. keeping the tools clean, keeping
yeah.
them sharp. And I love that we've got such savvy yeah. listeners
mm-hmm.
sharing their stories, too. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Now, the other thing that you did differently this year is you started compost earlier than usual.
Yeah. The mm-hmm. weather was warm, and I'm going to be gone for just almost 3 weeks, so let's get this going now.
Mm-hmm.
So I made two different compost piles, one yesterday and one last week. And, they're starting to – well, the one last week is now starting to heat up.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to come out about the same in timing just because of you'll be gone, or is it really a lot earlier this year than
previous? It'll be just fine.
Yeah,
because I have a huge pile of finished compost from last year. But I need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So.
And it was just easy to do because it was.
Yeah, it was easy to do and
easy
everything.
To get
was,
at and.
Yeah, watered it down and it'll be just fine. The problem is, if anything, I didn't have quite enough manure. So, and this particular stuff that I used, it had straw in it and also leaves. Now, the straw was from my einkorn grain that I grew last year.
Oh, uh-huh.
And leaves, and they're high carbon, so you need to have more nitrogen.
To break that down?
Break that down. So it will be a slow, what they call a slow pile or a cold pile.
Okay. And you just kind of watching it recognize that, mm-hmm. Oh, it's not breaking down, need a little more.
Well, it wasn't heating up as
wasn't
fast.
Wasn't heating up
when
as
I,
fast.
Yeah, okay. When I turned that first pile this weekend, there was no heat in it. And now there is.
That's the sign that, yeah need some more to burn that off.
Mm-hmm. But it will break down. You know, it just takes a little bit more longer.
Right. Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. I want to mention that last week we heard from Dia up in Cedar Edge, mm-hmm. at the community garden, and I just wanted to remind people that they have their meeting this Saturday, the 10th of February, at 9 a.m. at the Creekside Cafe. Mm-hmm. They've got some good things going on
get involved
that
with that
garden.
One.
Yeah, and I think the thing she also mentioned, besides a lot of great things happening, is that you get water with that.
Yeah.
So if you've got an issue at your place, you can water at the community garden,
mm-hmm.
plus being around all your friends and neighbors. Okay, we want to talk just a little bit. We're probably going to get into some seed-saving stuff when you get back.
Yeah.
Let's just start a little bit of that, because that's part of the great success of your garden and what you've mm-hmm. been able to accomplish. Would you...
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to mention some of the importance of it.
Yeah.
And first of all, seed varieties are disappearing at an alarming rate. And the only way to keep them, because the big seed companies and the commercial industrial agriculture only want certain, characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's
Honing in on these characteristics. Yeah.
And they only want it, plus they want it to be machine harvested.
Right.
There's very little that's actually, lettuce and spinach and maybe broccoli and cauliflower, but most things are machine harvested. And so that's why you get long, straight carrots. You don't get big, fat carrots like mine.
Right. None of them have any character.
Yeah.
Nah.
So anyway, that's one reason. And you're actually saving the variety, these heritage.
Right.
You know, from thousands of years of... growing food crops.
Right. And that's what you're saying. It's the variety.
Yeah.
There's so many varieties mm-hmm. that have been lost throughout time.
Mm-hmm. I'll just mention, I grow a red man onion.
Okay.
And it was developed in Greeley, Colorado as a red storage onion. I'm one of five people in North America growing that onion.
Oh, goodness
Only
gracious.
Five people.
Really?
So if anybody wants seed, I have it.
It sounds like it should be a common seed and a common...
No. It's not anymore.
Wow.
And
wow.
I think the reason why I didn't make it in the commercial market is most people think of red onions as sweet. This is a mm-hmm. storage onion. It is not sweet, mm-hmm. but it's red. And it's a beautiful color.
Yeah, gorgeous.
You know, so anyways, and it stores. And it stores clear into March, maybe even April.
Right. And that's what potentially seed companies try to avoid.
You know, and so anyways, and it's now acclimated to what I'm doing.
Here
in Western Colorado.
And you grow just about all of your plants from your own seed.
From my own seed mm-hmm. at this point in time.
Right.
Yeah.
Once in a while you might get seeds that someone shares with you, mm-hmm. maybe some variety that's rare. Or
I saw in this catalog that I just got, Turtle Tree Catalog. It's a biodynamic catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And they work with the mentally handicapped, so it's Kimberton Hills is part of the group, and but they had a couple of different types of cabbage that were long-term storage, and I'm really into having different cabbages. So I have three varieties of cabbage. Two are really good stores. The late flat Dutch is not a good store. I just ate the last one, so I can't.
That's not too shabby.
But now mm-hmm. I still have
these
mammoth red rock and a Danish ballhead. I still have those.
To take you through to
April or May.
Exactly. Wow, that's great.
And I'm into storing them. It's my wintergreen.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
People, you know, most people make it into kraut and anything, which is good, but this is my wintergreen.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat it either raw or I cook with it.
Right. You use it for all kinds of different.
So I saw a couple, like I said, a couple of different types of storage cabbage that I might try out
mm-hmm.
and see how they do. But again, you just plants get acclimated to the conditions in your garden, the sunlight, the whole everything.
Right.
And then they germinate better.
Germination
is just pretty incredible. And they also, their fertility germination rate lasts a lot longer.
And that's why you're able to store them keep a good supply.
Yeah, I mentioned that I had that one variety of carrots, that the carrot seed's 14 years old, 15 years old, and it's still germinated probably at about 90%.
Wow.
And that one, I finally said, okay, I'm going to grow it out for seed this year. So I stored it last year.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's one called Scarlet Keeper.
That is a keeper.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. 15 years of still germinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just another thing is seeds are getting more and more expensive, and you get less and less in a package.
Right.
And who knows where they're coming from.
Right, exactly.
You know, that
you might as well control your own.
Yeah, you know. Most of the seed companies.
Go ahead.
Most of the seed companies, what do I want to say? Do not grow all of their own seed. They contract with seed growers.
Okay.
So who knows where they're actually coming from.
Right.
This
Turtle Tree,
they actually have a list of all the growers, and they're all biodynamic or organic.
Okay.
They actually
Turtle
had the
Tree.
List. They actually had the list.
Okay. That's a good resource.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to get this call in because you won't be here next week. But this is from Lita. And she wants to know, what could I plant near poppies so that after the poppies die off, the bed is not bare?
Well, first of all, are they perennial poppies? That's what I suspect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would
assume. And she wants ornamentals or food?
Well, she doesn't mention that, but why don't you, can you speak a little bit to both real quick?
Yeah. I mean, if you do food, I mean, what about peppers? What about tomatoes? What about pole beans or bush beans or, you know.
Awesome.
Swiss
Those are
chard,
great
you can plant,
recommendations.
If you have bedding plants such as kale or broccoli or something like that, you can stick those in as soon as those are done.
Okay.
Just stick in the whole plant. You know, I think it'd be better to do the plant than actually put seed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as flowers, you could probably plant gladiolas.
Oh, that's
a
nice
bulb
combo.
And gladiolas can be start planting at when the ash trees bud. That's the first, I think it's a soil temperature thing. And you can plant them every 2 weeks until July.
Okay, so you can get going.
So you can store some of those gladiolas and plant them for a late fall crop.
Okay, that's a nice timing
kind of
thing.
And you might be able to put dahlias in there.
Okay.
You know, anything that has some roots. And you might, and again, it'd be better to put plants in than seeds.
Yeah, that sounds like a good advice there with the poppies.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, filling that poppy bed.
Mm-hmm. Because they are bare when that ends.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you for that and for answering Lita's question. We ran just a little bit over. And thanks to all of our listeners and callers. Lance, you'll be back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I'll be here next week with special stuff going on and music coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns. See you in a few weeks, Lance.
Yeah. Take care.
Equipped with taillight and neon, you've got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.